the cat. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's the news, according to me. Well, that's hot. Talking about my drink. The guitar playing's hot too. Hey. Hey, it's Friday, April 17th, a couple days after tax day. It's 8:42 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Running a little behind. I'm always running a little behind. I don't have a little behind. I'm just running a little behind. I have, it is Friday, April 17th, 8:42 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026 is the year, in case you're tuning in late or early, if you're a time traveler. I have, I forgot that I have an insulated covered cup here with my chai in it. I took a slug of it there for just a second. Forgot that it was going to be hot. And I burned my mouth on some mashed potatoes the other day. They're pretty hot. Didn't think about it. Wife made some mashed potatoes. We had steak. We had all this meat. You know those guys that go around the trucks and sell meat? I kind of went crazy and bought a bunch of meat, seafood, all kinds of stuff, thinking, I was going to get it. It's good. Yeah, he gave us a good break on everything. I mean, it wasn't expensive. I mean, in terms of how much food we got. And I gave him a cash offer. He was trying to offload a bunch of stuff that he had kind of left over from the week, and he cut me a deal. And he came back again later on. I bought some more. So I think I was kind of his buddy there for a little while. Of course, he knew. My wife caught him down at the end of the driveway one day. He was trying to get in. He kind of kept looking like he just needed to talk to me. He knew I would buy some if he could just talk to me. She said, "No, we don't need any more. We had to buy a new freezer, a bigger freezer. We got rid of our old one. Our 40-year-old freezer. It's time to get rid of that thing. It's time for that to go. So we had to get a new freezer. Anyway, this one's bigger. Got that all taken care of. Got some. It's nice. It's new. It's all clean and works very well. It's very efficient. It's got it's all that stuff. Yeah. So plenty of room for all the stuff we got. So it's now we're trying to eat it. And I have to say, it's not the finest quality stuff in the world. Probably would be okay if it was marinated for about a week or something. It's the seafood's okay. It's just not, there's much better quality food you can get. It's just like, but it's food and we got it and it's there. And it's, just in case the apocalypse does happen, we'll have something to trade for bullets. That's pretty much. So we can go out and kill food and then eat that. I guess I don't know how that works that way. Anyway, let's talk about what we're going to do today. First of all, I got chai with cinnamon creamer, and I've also got my backup cup of, still got Chick-fil-A sweet tea. The gallon is almost gone. It's probably going to be gone by the end of the day, which means I'm going to have to make some more tea tomorrow morning. I get to be home this weekend. I'm hardly ever home on weekends. This weekend and next weekend, I get to be home, and it's kind of exciting because I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got plenty to do. Don't get me wrong. It's just that I got all these extra days now that I can get started, get stuff done. I hopefully get some things done next week, get the next couple weeks off. So it's it'll be fun to do what I can do here. We'll get into it, but the taste, it's Financial Friday here on the show. And so that's what we do. We talk about stuff, finances on the show. So I got this little thing. It's being created right now by Notebook LM. It's an AI thing. I threw a video in there. Look kind of like an interesting video, but what I wanted to do is create a little podcast within a podcast. the AI podcast. And we're going to have any callers today. We're just going to have, we are the caller. We're the caller. We're playing a podcast generated by AI about this little video thing that I put in there. It's just kind of the basics of finance, just some things. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not anything as you can be. I'm just kind of guy. I happen to be able to afford a microphone and an internet connection. And that's what I do. So that's you'll be careful who you give these things to, because you never know who's going to take off and just spout off with whatever their opinions are, which is the situation we are in this morning. That's what you have going on right now. Well, that's interesting. My little kitty's coming around the corner here. She's the good one. She lets me do my show without interrupting me. The other one jumps on the desk and flops all over the place and was apparently pushing buttons on my machine here and did some weird stuff, and I had to redo all that. He's recorded a couple of his own podcasts, apparently pushing on the buttons that are here. I got to delete some of this stuff. That's what's happening right now. In the meantime, we'll take this little interlude, and we're going to come back. Hopefully this thing will be done. We can listen to it very shortly, but that's where we're going with that, all that. So here we are.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news, the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news,
it's the news.
It's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me,
morning.
It's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Well, here we are. It is Finance Friday. This thing's still generating. I don't know. How long can it take? It's supposed to be like a 3-minute long. Oh, she just jumped up on the wall. And now she's scared. She jumped up too high. Now she, as it looked like, how do we get down from here? Yeah, that was fun. Anyway, it would seem like a 3-minute video would take, 30 minutes to generate. With all the fast, AI, super duper AI stuff that's going on out there. Well, speaking of which, there's some interesting stuff in the news recently. I should have trusted my gut on something. This whole Swalwell thing. I have to say, when it first happened, I was like, how, what is going on here? Why all of a sudden, just because he's running for governor in California? Well, first of all, why is he stepping out of Congress? That's one of the issues, one of the questions you have to ask yourself. Why is he looking to escape that route? Because now they do, when they retire from Congress, they get full benefits. I think you have to be there for, is it 2 terms? I'm not sure what it is. I think on the congressional side, on the House side, I think you have to be there for 2 terms, and you get taken care of the rest of your life. You get full benefits for the rest of your life, health care and all this stuff. You get all that. I'm not sure what kind of stipend they get as well. They get some kind of pay after that. But I think if you're there, I think you have to be there for 2 terms, 4 years, I think. On the senators, I don't know. I think 1 term in the Senate, I think you get full benefits after that. If you serve 6 years or whatever it is you serve. Now, what is crazy here is that he decides to go ahead and run for governor of California, which I thought was a little strange on the onset. Why is Swalwell jumping into that? But then, you turn around and come to find out, there's, of course, all these allegations that are out there. But why, I was asking, why all of a sudden, when he starts running for governor, why all of a sudden is he being, this stuff is coming out about him? What triggered that? Was it just people in? And my understanding is the main person that came out initially was someone from California. I think it was someone from California. The way I understand it, that's my understanding. I could be wrong about that. But I did have a question about it, and I should have probably questioned it earlier on, because now it seems that there is this, and of course now Nancy Pelosi had a very interesting answer. She's very political. She's very good at answering questions without incriminating herself. she knew about this stuff. These people who are coming out and saying, oh, I didn't know anything about it. Adam Schiff, who came out with this glowing, I played it yesterday, this glowing thing about how wonderful Eric Swalwell is. Well, he's going to jump into the race now. He's going to jump in and endorse Eric Swalwell. He endorsed Eric Swalwell because he's known him for so many years and worked with him on committees and his stance against Donald Trump. That was the, in my opinion, that's the only thing he knew about the guy. Probably said he took a stand against Donald Trump. Therefore, he's in the club. Or something else was going on. I don't know. Maybe there's more going on to it. Maybe Eric Swalwell had something on him too. Who knows? There's all kinds of blackmail stuff goes on behind the scenes. A pressure that I'm calling it blackmail, maybe a little bit forward, but it's they have dirt on each other. Let's just put it that way. They know stuff about each other, and they say, "Hey, you did me a favor. I did you a favor. Won't you do me a favor? I'll do you a favor." All these favors. In other words. And they've got these little committees that behind the scenes that pay off people who try to, these allegations that come out against them, they pay people off. There's a fund for that. And there are people on those committees that know all about this stuff that's going on. And they, of course, know the background stuff of what's going on. Can't tell me they didn't know about this stuff. Stuff gets out. All of a sudden, who is it that has released this information? I mean, who is this? Who is the curator of all this stuff? And all of a sudden, Eric Swalwell is out of the race, and he's also resigning from Congress. Now, interestingly enough, they were in a situation in California where they were going to end up with a Republican governor. There were too many people in the race out there. There were a lot of people vying for the governorship, and they were all Democrats. Now, why? Why would they all be pushing into there? Eric Swalwell didn't want to drop out. He wanted to stay in. Of course, that's the kind of egotistic psychopath, sociopath this guy is. Thinking, well, he's gonna get in there, and he's gonna win because he's Eric Swalwell. So he was after it. I think he probably had a pretty good chance of being the nominee because the Democrats, they pretty much rule the day out there. But they have this thing called a jungle primary. You can end up with two Democrats running against each other in the general. Or you could end up with a Republican and a Democrat. Or you could end up with two Republicans. Now, my understanding is there's only two Republicans in the race, and they've got a whole bunch of other Democrats in the race, in the primary. And what ends up happening is you spread out all the Democrat votes over all those people, and then the Republicans end up winning because you've got a unified Republican base voting for two Republicans. So 50% of your population is voting for two people, and 50% of your population is voting for six people. And you're dividing it up between, even if it's 60% of your population, if you're dividing between them. So there's very, very likely you would have ended up with two Republicans on the ticket, and you would have had, there would have been no question, there would have been a Republican governor. Now, one governor is more Republican than the other. That's why we should say one Republican is more conservative than the other, but that's beside the point. It still would have been the party of the evil one, according to certain people on the left. So this would have been a problem for them. So they had to thin out the herd, and Eric Swalwell was an easy target, so they got rid of him. Now, the other guy that they've got in there, he's run several times. I think he even ran for president. I think the guy ran for president one time, the presidential primary, I think. Dropped out pretty early. If I'm remembering this guy's name correctly, I think this is the guy. But he ended up being he'd been a governor candidate several times. He's lost every time. But that's because there's been other candidates that have just been much more well-known. Because the guy's a billionaire, of course, because they hate the billionaires. Well, tax the billionaires. Millionaires and billionaires. Well, just the billionaires. I'm a millionaire now, so just the billionaires. So this is what happens when you get this stuff done. Is you got these people that all of a sudden, he's a good billionaire. Pritzker, for instance, he's a billionaire as well. He's a governor of Illinois. But, of course, he's trying to stick it to the man. He is the man. I don't understand. You know, he's the man we're sticking to. He's the man anyway. So that's what ends up happening. This thing is still generating. What's wrong with this thing? It was not supposed to be that long. So we have the situation out here where it looks like this is what has happened. Now, I'm not saying it's happened. I'm just saying allegedly. This is all just entertainment purposes, for your entertainment purposes only. But it certainly looks as if this has been a setup to get him out. And I wouldn't doubt that there probably will be another one. Now, there somebody will come in. Now, Adam Schiff, of course, didn't want to get involved in endorsing anyone. He endorsed Eric Swalwell. Is he going to come out and say anything about anybody else? Is he going to come out and endorse anybody else? I think that would be a big mistake. So he probably will do it, because it's stupid to do that. Now, I don't know. This whole endorsement thing, does that really make a difference? I don't know that I've ever voted for anyone because they were endorsed by someone else. I can't. There was one time, I think, that I've done that. And that was when I had, we had a local county sheriff here that he moved on to a different position in politics, but he was our county. We vote for our county sheriff here. Most, I think a lot of places do, but in the state of Indiana, you vote for your county sheriff. And we had a really good county sheriff. Awesome for years, did an awesome job. And he's a constitutional guy, protected our county, our citizens, and was very clear on what was constitutional law and everything. He was just very good about that stuff. He ended up moving on, retiring from the county sheriff position, and I think he's running for something else for this year. I'm not sure what it is. This was several terms back. He endorsed the next candidate that was up for sheriff. I took that because I didn't know. There's this big, I don't know, there's a big struggle right now. I saw something on Facebook. My wife sent me something. It was just so long to read it. I probably should just stick it in AI and say, what are they saying here? Give me a one paragraph synopsis of this. Because they wrote this big, long letter, big, long thing on Facebook about the race, the county sheriff race in this county, and what all is going on. And I know my neighbor has a yard sign with a county sheriff's name on it, and I probably will look into that. I trust my neighbor's opinions. The one neighbor I have is very, very politically connected. I would say they both understand what's going on in the county. They've been around for a while. They're a little, maybe 5 or 6 years older than us, but just to say we're on the same page. And if they've probably done their research and they've endorsed this candidate, they probably know him. But I'm more likely to go that along that route. Now, having said that, I don't know. But I don't get the whole thing about endorsing somebody. I don't know that I've ever, that's the only time I've ever been affected by that kind of endorsement. Normally I am not. Maybe people are. I don't know. Well, you know, some movie star or some singer, actor, whatever is endorsing somebody. Oh, well, I'm a big fan of them, so I guess I better follow along with their endorsement. Are people like that? I'm not that way. I've just never been that way. And I find it difficult to believe that people are that way, but maybe they are. Maybe it makes a difference. I don't know. I would hope they're not. But maybe that is a thing. I don't know. Anyway, just let me know what you think about what I think. I have, oh yeah, you can call the show. By the way, where's that at? What'd I do with that thing? We got this little thing. I was playing this, here it is. Right. It's right here. It's right here in front of me. Got it right here. You can listen to this. Let's see what this has to say.
574, but wait, there's more. 651, we're almost done. 76 and 85.
Text that number, it's alive. Text that number, call that number. Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. I have 574-651-7685. If you can call or text that number, you can also go to google.com/voice and you can put that number in and you can, for wherever you are in the world, if you have worldwide internet web stuffs going on, you can put that in there and you can send a message. So you can send me what your thoughts are. Not that anybody cares, but you can send. I'm just saying. No, I care about your thoughts and what your opinions are. Don't. I'm just ribbing you. You can. At least somebody cares right now. 20 years from now, they won't care. They'll all be dead. I have, people my age, I should say. Maybe not. I don't know. What am I saying? I could still be alive 20 years from now. A little freaky to think that 20 years from now, 30 years. I could be alive 30 years from now. My grandpa was still that old. Yeah, it's possible. 30 more. Oh, man. What else? What could possibly go wrong in the next 30 years? Oh, my word. The things I could potentially see. Oh, my word. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That just seems crazy to me. I have I just lost my, there it is. Nope, that's not it. Oh, where'd it go? There it is. Okay. It's still working. Wow. How long is that thing going to be? I have, there's that going on. There's also this stuff going on with the Straits of Hormuz. Interesting things happening there. Of course, you have Iran. I don't know. At this point, it sounds like there's kind of this, I'm hearing a lot of rumors about how people in Iran are becoming much more bold about standing up against the current mullah regime that is there. They've lost a lot of their ability to keep the hammer down. Now they will, of course, there's all kinds of propaganda going on, saying that they're still powerful. There's still all these things, you know, they'll say, you know, it's just all that stuff is still happening. But at this point they've become a paper tiger. There's nothing there anymore. They've lost so much of their military, so much of their infrastructure, militarily. And of course they were claiming they were going to go after all the ships that were going in the Gulf or in the straits there. And it's of course they, so they had a blockade. They weren't allowing anybody to go through. So the U.S. military, the Navy, moved in and blocked the blockade. Basically they're saying, so what has happened now is my understanding is they're going to start escorting ships through there that want to go through if anybody wants to go through there. And I think there's probably some ships that probably will go through. I'm not sure exactly whether ships are going through. Let's find out. Let's just ask Google here. Let's check in with Google real quick and see. Well, how can I do this? What's that? That button right there. Yeah, it's nothing there. Finish update. I don't know what's going on there. I have a. Well, let's just see. Well, let's just type it in here and see what we get. Are ships moving through the straits? It finished it for me. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Why the U.S. blockade on Iran seems to be working. That's PBS. Let's see what CNN. Well, I'm not gonna go to CNN, CNBC, Al Jazeera. I would trust Al Jazeera over CNN. Reuters exclusive. Iran proposes letting ships exit safely. How many ships have passed through the Strait of Iran? Iran proposes letting ships exit safely through Oman's side of the... so they apparently still have a grip on something there. U.S. boasts no ships moved through the Strait of Hormuz in a 24-hour blockade. State of the U.S. blockade is unclear as some ships transit state of the Strait. Okay, what do we got going on here? Let's see what the PBS thing here has to say about this. Let's just... Why a U.S. block... Oh, that's nice. No, thank you. I don't want to subscribe. Why a U.S. blockade on Iran seems to be working. Frankfurt, Germany, the U.S. Navy's sea blockade against Iran appears to be working. Iran-linked or sanctioned vessels that have left the Persian Gulf through the Strait of Hormuz have stopped or turned around, shipping data firms say. They appear to have jammed or faked their locations in some instances, complicating any an uncertain and risky shipping situation. The blockade that started Monday has been fully implemented, and said administrator, or admiral, I guess it is Admiral Brad Cooper, head of U.S. Central Command. U.S. forces have completely halted economic trade going through, going in and out of Iran by sea. Now, so they're blockading stuff going in and out of Iran, so there's nothing getting in and out of Iran. They're unable to get supplies. Pakistan delegation meets in Tehran, hoping them for more U.S.-Iran talks before ceasefire expires. The action could put serious pressure on Iran's economy, while Tehran's early cutoff of the waterway, crucial to oil and gas supplies, has sent energy prices higher during the war. How the U.S. Navy is enforcing the blockade. The blockade has been enforced impartially against all vessels of all nations entering or leaving the coastal areas or ports in Iran. So they're basically blocking the ports. They're not blocking the straits, U.S. Central Command said. Vessels avoiding Iranian ports are not affected. So they can go through as long as they're not going to the ports. So that's the biggest thing that's happening there. So they're basically cutting off their ability to supply others with oil or getting supplies of their own. On Tuesday, the first full day of the blockade, only 8 vessels, most of them linked to Iran or sanctioned, transited the strait. Said Anna Subasic, trade risk analysis of data. Okay, there's nothing else here that we want to. That's all there is. Okay, that's good. Good for us. Still generating. Still there. Still working on it. Why? Why is it still working on it? Why is it taking so long? There's a picture here of a ship here tied up on some kind of a thing there in Iran. I guess it is. I don't know. Blackbirds or seagulls flying all over. Constantine Troopin. There's just nothing else there. That's all I want to talk about. In the meantime, that's what's happening. Now, there's been this little scuffle between the president and the Pope, apparently. It's been going on here recently. I think Trump posted something. It was a picture of him or something, or an AI thing. I don't know if it was him that posted it or somebody reposted or whatever happened with it. It's very symbolic of some things. Now, there's this issue. There's some people in the Catholic Church, regular folks, but I think that they have a lot to do with the fabric of what they're like, important and well-noted people in the Catholic Church, who are coming out and asking for a RICO investigation of the Catholic Diocese here in the United States because of the issues of money being transferred. There's this strange defense of the border. I should say the lack of a border. There's this, and Tom Homan recently had some comments, and he's born and raised Catholic, has always, you know, been most of his life been considered himself Catholic, has come out and as it personally said, you know, this is, that the Pope is wrong on this stuff. He's wrong on immigration. People are dying from this whole open border policy idea. The cartels and everything get involved. This traffic, you know, human traffickers, all this stuff that's going on. That people die during that stuff. They get sold into all kinds of weird slavery stuff, and it's not good. And for the Pope to stick up for it and try to defend it and encourage it, it is just outrageous. And it's and Homan makes a very good point about it. And of course, the whole point is that they get into about this whole thing is that here's what's weird. The Pope came to visit the United States. He came to Chicago, which is where he's from. And he met with David Axelrod. Axelrod is an extreme political figure. He has no other affiliation. Maybe he's Catholic. I don't know. But it seems strange that the Pope would want to meet personally and individually with David Axelrod, who was Obama's right-hand man with regard to campaign management and some other things. He was next to Valerie Jarrett, he was probably the other guy, the other person who had the most influence around Obama. Now, there's also, what was the guy's name? Was the attorney general at that time. He was a couple of attorney generals that were all in for him. There were a small handful of people. David Axelrod was one of those people. The Pope goes and meets with the guy. A couple days later, comes out and starts bad-mouthing Trump and saying all kinds of things about the border. Now, at the meantime, the very next day, he's on a plane. They're asking him some questions, and he said, I'm not political. I try not to. I don't get involved in politics. You just met with one of the key individuals in the Democrat Party who still is a commentator for the Democrats on major network shows. I think MSNBC or CNN, one of the two. He's a paid political contributor. And it's ironic that you would go and meet with that guy because you were concerned about his soul, I'm sure. Now, I see the NGOs that are out there, many of them are Catholic organizations, non-government organizations. Some of them are charitable nation status. They get paid for reporting and bringing people across the border, for their services to people across the border. That's what they do. The Democrats were paying them for that. They were getting a lot of money coming in per head. For every head that came across the border that they helped, they were getting paid. You don't think that's a little bit of a, maybe a, going to influence their opinions about the whole thing? Just a whole lot of things going on behind the scenes there that are a little bit, so these people want to, and of course there's the children that have disappeared. Now there's an estimated 400,000, over 400,000 children that had vanished under the, that came across the border that they didn't know where they were. They lost a lot of them. I know that Tom Homan, I think that there was like 80,000 that they recovered, I think that they found. But there's still a lot of missing kids that have come across that border and were supposedly given to someone who they had no DNA testing, no nothing. Just somebody showed up and said, yeah, that's my daughter, that's my son, that's my whatever. I'm here to take care of them and took them away. Where are those kids now? There's no, they literally had no paper trail for those kids. And the Catholic Church was involved in a lot of that. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of well-meaning people within the Catholic Church who were helping with that whole thing. But you don't know. You're dealing with human beings, and the dark side of it is there's a lot of, Eric Swalwell, for example. There are some people out there who have no moral fortitude whatsoever. They portray something on the surface and there's something else totally underneath. And it's very frustrating. People live in that kind of portrayal. It's dangerous for their own soul. It's dangerous to be open for instance, this show, I'm just out there spilling my, the beans out of my head every day. But this is who I am. It's what you got. And it's, there's no, Well, I suppose it'd be possible to portray something. I think most people can see through that. I hope there's some kind of portrayal going on. But it's just, you know, I don't have a script in front of me. I don't have something I'm reading. You're just getting my thoughts here as I go through all this stuff, and it's just me processing life. I think that's why some people join into the journey. That's why some people listen to this, because it's just they're going through the same thing, or they're processing the same thing, or maybe they have, you know, they're just, I don't know. I don't know why you listen. Why do you listen to this thing? Let me know. All you got to do is, oh, there's a little number you can call. Let me just tell you all about it. Here it is.
Do-do-do. 574. But wait, there's more. 651. We're almost done. 76 and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
I'm sorry. I still think it's funny. There's two different versions of that thing. And you want to listen to the original version? I'm not going to put that. Should I put that on there? Let's see. This was the original version. This is played this way back when. This is just me doing everything. This is just me singing.
There's more. 742. Well, how do you do?
That's the old number. I didn't want to put that out there because somebody's going to dial that number. That's the old number. It's not the number that we have now, but yeah. So that's the kind of thing. What I did is I put that into Suno. I typed in the new script for it. You know, the new number, and type that in, and you put that all that stuff in there. So you have to have a recording, the original recording, and then it takes that and it rearranges it. You do all your stuff that you tell it how you want it to sound and all this stuff, and you put in the words, and it and you can have it embellish if you want to, you know, you can do more things if you want, but it's pretty fascinating. It's pretty cool. That's how some of this stuff is. So a lot of this stuff has just been old audio files that I've taken and put in there to make it, you know, more of a polished kind of thing. It's just kind of fun. Anyway, oh, goodness gracious. This thing is still working. I didn't think it was going to take an hour. we've been going here for, what are we going to go in here now? 37 minutes. I thought we were going to do this little journey thing together here, but it's obviously taking much longer than it should. I don't understand why it's taking so long. I do apologize for that. Financial Friday. Let's talk about finances. Since it's Financial Friday and we've got 30 minutes into the show and we haven't even talked about finances yet. Let's talk a little bit about AI for a second while we got this thing cooking here. There's this thing called AI trading. Now there's certain AI online trading companies, trading services. There are several of them. One of them is called Alpaca. I know there's a couple others that are out there where you can get what's called an API from the website. And API is something I can't remember what it stands for. And it's like a key. So you if you have an agent, which is an agentic agent, so you can give this little agent a task or whatever it is that you do. Now, Claude, has a little thing called a dispatch, which you can control as long as you have your computer running. It's an app you can put on your phone, and you can tell it, hey, open up a file and do this, or create a file, a folder, or whatever, on my desktop, and and then put all this information in there. And then you can, later on, you can say, take that folder and put it into Notebook LM. As long as it has access to all those things, it'll do all that stuff. I could have copied and pasted a video link into the thing from my phone. I said, hey, go into Notebook LM, put that in there and create a slide deck or whatever. You create this little audio overview thing. And it'll do all that stuff for you. It'll do everything. It's like a little agent that will, you know, you can give it parameters as what it can do and what it can't do and that kind of thing. Well, now that there's this little agentic way to do this thing with trading, I think Manus is kind of it's a Google version of this thing called OpenClaw. There's all kinds of stuff out there that these little agents that you can do things. And you can have one agent that runs several other agents. And what you do is you give them all parameters. So one agent might be in charge of your marketing thing. And so the marketing agent has responsibilities. It does things at certain times. You can give it certain reports that it has to report to certain things. You can even give it a budget. You can give it access to your checking account or your bank account, whatever you want to do, or you can fund it with some kind of an account. And you can say, okay, out of this little budget, you're going to spend, you know, $10 a day advertising whatever it is that you're trying to advertise, your product or service or your podcast or whatever it is you got going on. I don't do any of that. I don't give them any kind of, I just don't give them that kind of leeway, you might say. But that's kind of where it's at. And now, in the world of trading, and I'm kind of working on this right now, looking at the possibility of having a, I wonder if this thing will do two things at once. Cinematic brief. Let's just go bite-sized cinematic brief. Auto-select custom. I'm just doing auto. I'm going to see if this thing will actually do two things at once. Probably got to slow it down. Yeah, brief. It's just going to be a brief. Let's see if it'll do it without, there we go. What could possibly happen if I'm trying to run two things at once? The video will probably be quicker than the audio. So what's happening is now that you've got this, there's all kinds of strategies when it comes to trading. I like to trade options, and they're a little bit complicated. However, it's a really good way to kind of increase your revenue on trades. It's on the way on the market itself, because you can get paid regardless of whether you buy or sell something, or whether the market's up or down. You can actually still make money on that, and it's not large sums. Well, it can be large sums if you're using large sums to do the options with. You just have to have a lot in your account. You don't necessarily have to spend a lot of it, and you're not necessarily risking it necessarily, because it's. But you can end up buying. You just have to be careful what you want. You just make sure that you're trading options that you want to buy or that you wouldn't mind owning. That's the biggest key. You know, make sure they're solid options. And there's some that trade sideways. You just look at the history of the you know how they're doing and what the industry is doing, and just it's pretty simple, really. There's guys that really get into the whole. All the charts and stuff and all the stuff that they do. But that's something that the agent can do for you. You can say, hey, and you can even tell it to look at Nancy Pelosi and see what her husband is doing with stocks. And you know, maybe she doesn't have to report anymore. The politicians who are trading, making a killing doing it. They have to report. Now their reports might come out 3 months after they do the trades, but at least you're kind of on board with what they're doing. And you can kind of look at those things. The interesting thing about all that is the agent can then make decisions, and you can say, okay, I want to do a wheel strategy on this. I want to buy, I want to look out every week. And you can make if you depending on the stock, you can make hundreds or maybe even $1,000 a week on the trades that you do. Even though you're not actually buying and selling the stock, you're just buying and selling puts and calls. So it's a good way to generate some funds, but you do have to have some capital behind it, or you have to have stock behind it, because what you do is you sell a covered call, or you sell you guarantee that you'll sell your stock, the stock that you own, at a certain rate. So you say you sell it, selling a put. You sell the contract up front, so you get paid up front. You know, of course, you have to be at least 100 shares of whatever you're doing. So if it's $5 a share, it's going to cost you $500. So that's what you're doing. You're putting that up. You have to have that money there, and then you sell the trade or sell the option. It's kind of a long thing. But this agent will do all that for you, and you give it certain parameters, and you say, don't spend more than this. Don't, you know, make sure that if it goes this far, that you'll sell out on it. You're going to cancel it, whatever it is, whatever it is you do. And, you know, if you buy it, then you turn around, and if they end up buying the stock, then you end up going this way, and then you turn around and try to sell it. Do the put thing. So that you give it the permission to do that within this trading app. And that is, it's a fascinating way to do it. Now, here's what's a little bit crazy about this stuff. In the agentic world, that all sounds like it's an advantage where it's going to implement those things immediately. You don't have to even watch it really too much. It kind of does it on its own. It's going to trigger everything on its own. Here's the thing. There are probably agents out there scraping the internet, looking at what all the bots are doing and how they're set up to go. I don't know. I just know that they're security-wise, this is probably an issue. And so the market can be manipulated by knowing what the bots are going to do. Now, the more and more bots that are going to be out there to these agents, I'm going to call agents and bots, I call them the same thing, but there's this potential for something in the background to know that if we do this with the market, if this happens with the market, the bots are going to respond this way, and we can turn around and then fool the bots or do something with the bots that will trigger them to do all this, you know, this spending and whatever they're set up to do. And a lot of people that's what they do right now. They look at markets and they know that there's what they call support. In other words, when Tesla gets down to a certain dollar figure, they know that people are going to jump in and start buying. So they call that support. And then there's at the top end, they know that there's people going to bail. If it gets up to a certain amount, there are people who start selling off because it's too high. Or if it starts to dip a little bit, starts to level off or come down a little bit, people are going to sell off and wait for it to come back down because it's overvalued or whatever it is, whatever they're doing with the stuff. Their little calculations that they do. So that's kind of what happens with all this stuff. And so it's an interesting thing that the bots could be involved in that and how that will affect, and then ultimately how that will affect what is affected. Because I guarantee you there are people out there with, you know, very, very powerful computers who have multiple agents and have the ability to code and do things that the average person cannot do and be able to outwit the bots. Now, let me take this another layer. There are probably people beyond that who have access to things like supercomputers or whatever it is that they have who can outwit the outwitters. Just saying. And those, now you're getting to the top of the pyramid, as you say, there are going to be fewer and fewer of those people who are going to be controlling the markets. And if you don't think that happens, then you haven't been paying attention for the last 100 years, because that is exactly what's been going on. There's a lot of control that happens behind, a lot of trading, if you want to call it that, that happens beyond the trading that we see. And there's all kinds of, you know, they're not just playing around when it comes to the market stuff. These people make, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars every year messing with the markets. And that's what they do. They don't mess around with that stuff. That's their livelihood. They're very greedy, very dangerous people. And they're ruthless. They don't have, you know, these are the people who will jump out of windows if they lose everything because they don't see any reason to live without their money. Anyway, that's my iced tea. It's still cold. It's still ice in it. And this is my hot. Yeah, it's they're both hot and cold. It's hot and cold. I'm not going to spew anything out of my mouth this morning. Folks, I apologize. The show has gone on nearly an hour, and this stuff is still generating. still doing its thing. I don't understand why. This all works within the confines of their. It doesn't work on my computer. It works through their computers on their side, their end. So apparently, there's a whole lot of people doing something today. I don't know what's going on with that, but we'll see. We'll find out. Anyway, I guess we're just going to have to end the show without any resolution here on this little thing here. It's going to play. It's kind of a little bit frustrating. In the meantime, Shabbat Shalom. It is Friday, I guess. We'll be back on Monday morning, as far as I know, God willing. We'll be back on Friday morning or Monday morning, and just a mishmash Monday, kind of like it was a mishmash Friday. This time. So. Folks, thanks again for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. And we will be hopefully back on Monday with some AI folks. In fact, hopefully the app is going to be a little bit more responsive on Monday. That's the plan, is to work on this thing over the weekend and get some things done. So we'll get all that stuff done. In the meantime, what else? I was going to say something else. Can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Call the show. You get a chance. 574-651-7685. Call or text google.com/voice. You can do that too. God bless, folks. In the meantime, I hope you have a great weekend. Have a great night. And entering into the Shabbat. Whatever it is. In the meantime, hey, I'll see you. I will see you.